there's sort of, I see two aspects of this issue in the business of war. There's sort of the high end, which is the big global weapons conglomerates, companies like Lockheed Martin, BAE, Boeing, and so forth. And they're all, of course, licking their chops to get a hold of their share of the $48 billion increase that the Bush administration has announced it's going to seek in military spending for this year, which will be the biggest increase since the early days of the Reagan administration. And it's one of the interesting things about that is a lot of it's not even for equipment that they're going to use in the war on terrorism. It's kind of just time for them to cash in. I mean, there's public support for high military spending, so they're going for everything. There was a piece in the Wall Street Journal the other day about who would benefit in the defense industry, the weapons industry. They said basically everybody. And so there's that whole high end, which has a lot of tentacles in terms of lobbying. Lockheed Martin is a bigger political giver, for example, than Enron. There's executives from all these weapons companies in the Bush Pentagon sprinkled throughout the administration. But I think that story may be a little bit more well known. I mean, that's been happening certainly in the United States for years, and it has counterparts in Europe, certainly. But then on the low end of it, in terms of the less lucrative or the part that deals with small arms, civil wars, and so forth, how are they financed? That's really been pioneered by non-governmental organizations in the last 4 to 5 years. If you look there, you see, for example, a group like UNITA, which during the Cold War got aid from the United States to fight the government there in the name of anti-communism. In the 1990s, they were cut off from that aid. But they raised billions of dollars selling diamonds out of the parts of Angola that they controlled. And in fact, they raised about 10 times as much money through diamond sales as they'd ever gotten through aid during the Cold War. And they collaborated with middlemen, diamond dealers. The whole sort of distribution network for diamonds was in some way or another collaborating with that. And that method of financing war through plunder essentially exists in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, exists in throughout Asia, and as I mentioned, the Bin Laden network has sold diamonds. They've got sort of a corner on the market of a mineral called tanzanite, which is only found in Tanzania, which became a big favorite after it was featured in the movie version of the Titanic. That gross piece of jewelry that is featured was made out of tanzanite, and the prices apparently skyrocketed after that. So in any case, there's this kind of illicit or sort of hidden commerce in war that is certainly at a minimum facilitated and allowed to go on by the powers that run the current global trading system. And then there's the sort of more open funding of these big companies. And the two of them sort of came together in the war in Afghanistan, where you had the United States using its most advanced weaponry against the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, who had basically weaponry that was probably 20 years old at best. Or if you look at the fact that, for example, the attack on the World Trade Center cost about $200,000, and the Bush administration, in response to it, is raising the military budget in this country by $48 billion. It's kind of, in a weird way, a David and Goliath story, not that either side is to be rooted for. So I think that's the main thing I wanted to say, is that there's this kind of dark underside of globalization, which really does facilitate warfare. And to the extent that countries are made almost incapable